Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's never not a good time. Get your double negative in there. Never not a good time to talk about taxes because taxes are a big part of the world we live in. It's just the reality of it. You know, it's funny. I've met with a lot of folks over the years, and I've never had somebody come in and say, you know, David, I want to pay more in taxes. Can you show me how to do that? Never had it happen. Now, they might want you to pay more in tax, but not them. Mm-mm. So it is part of the deal. Taxes, financial planning, investment planning, it all works together. You don't just have to take my word for it, okay? I've got a guest on the line, and we're going to talk about this. Wesley Wood, CEO and president of Wood Financial Group, Hendersonville, Tennessee. The website is woodfinancialgroup.net. Wesley, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David, for having me. Excited to be here.
Listen, you are here to not only help me educate my listeners, but you're here to confirm the things I've been telling them, that it's important to get the taxes integrated into their financial decision-making, because it's just amazing how sometimes people view those two things completely separate, but it is all related, right?
You got that right. And so many times, folks just don't realize that they really go hand in hand. Too many times, investments can create unnecessary taxes on my tax return, creating just thousands of dollars of taxes sent every year to the IRS that could be completely eliminated as long as they're working towards creating a plan and sticking to that plan.
Well, that's right on the money. And so here's, I'll jump right to the practical implication. How do they do that? What's your thoughts? I mean, you do the financial planning work. I mean, Wesley and I were talking a little bit before we started the program here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're kind of comparing notes, and we have similar practices. And so in the work that you do, Wesley, you know, you're working with people, you're helping them do planning, you're helping them do investing, but the taxes are right there integrated. So in doing that, put the wheels on the pavement. How do you help people? And so they can understand where we're coming from, Wesley. How do you help people do that? How do they do the integration? How do they make that happen?
Well, sure. You know, the first step is you need to make sure that your advisor is looking at your tax return and looking at your investment, because they do go hand in hand. And I'm imagining that in a lot of your meetings, you're asking them to bring in their tax return, reviewing it on an annual basis. Actual ways to stop some taxes or maybe reduce taxes, it does depend on the individual situation. I'll tell you, in our office, most of our clients are at or near retirement. And if somebody is retired, you know, a lot of things do change once they hit that point. Their investment portfolios need to be changed in most cases. Their taxes could potentially go down, but they may end up paying some unnecessary taxes just by poor tax planning. A lot of cases, what I'll see is that even Social Security tax may be able to be dropped or reduced dramatically just by, you know, looking at their investments and making sure that that if they don't need dividends, don't need the interest that could perhaps be created there, maybe they're better off looking at deferring their taxes for in the future. Could be one step. But just simply by, you know, reviewing and having your accountant and having your financial advisor review it together, or if you have, like, sounds like in your office, if you have an advisor and your accountant together, make sure that they're working together to create a plan to reduce those taxes.
Well, you're right, and I agree. And we do that in my office, Wesley, and it sounds like that's what you're doing. And because, you know, it makes sense to me, and it's funny. Our listeners won't know this, Wesley, but and they may not have noticed, but I know you'll get a kick out of this. If you read every financial product out there, especially from the insurance industry, the disclosures, it'll say something to the effect that, hey, look, this any tax considerations of this product, you know, you need to talk to a financial professional or a tax professional or your CPA. And what's ironic about that is the very benefits that are part of that product might be the tax benefit. So I always look at that and it makes me laugh, and I kind of scratch my head at the same time and go, well, which is it? You know, I mean, you can't tell me or you can't advise me, Mr. Financial Product Provider or manufacturer of these products. You can't advise me on it, but you're telling me the benefits are tax related, but I need to talk to the CPA about it. So it's really great to have that integrated because you can see it together. The left hand does need to know what the right hand's doing.
And you'll notice a lot of times with the larger firms out there, not to name names, but they just will keep an arm's length away from taxes. And may not even want to give any kind of recommendations on how to reduce your tax, or doesn't even want to look at the tax return. They say, well, no, I'm just taking care of your investments. You really need to go talk to your accountant or CPA in order to do so. As an example of somebody that I met this week in an appointment where they came in and just wanted a full consultation, we call it the financial physical, and she retired this last year, and they were thinking about potentially paying off their house. Well, they had about $200,000 that they needed to pay off their home. In their non-qualified accounts or their bank accounts where they're paying interest, paying taxes on the interest every year, it's not retirement dollars. They had about $350,000 in their retirement accounts. They had quite a bit. She wanted to cash out her 401k in order to pay off the home didn't irritate the bank account. And
really?
Once we looked at perhaps the tax consequences on doing that, it was going to cost her in the realm of close to $40,000 in taxes just to pay off that home, where she could simply take it out of the bank account that at this very moment are hardly earning anything and completely wipe out the debt on the home, which was her main goal. So coordinating that is such an important factor.
Well, I love what you said, Wesley, because here's what I love about that. You didn't just consider the tax consequences, which are enormous, and people sometimes just don't recognize that because they don't do it like you and I do every day. I think that's great to be able to share that revelation and say, look, you've got the cash. Let's just pay off the debt. How liberating is that? But you don't touch those qualified or not taxed yet funds. But the thing that I really like about the advice you gave is that there are financial people that would not do that. They would say, well, just keep your mortgage. Let me take that money. I'll invest it for you. If you're paying 3 or 4 or 5% on your mortgage, just pay that. That's not that expensive. That's not that big of a deal. I'll go make you 12% in the market.
Yeah, right.
And,
let me know when you find that 12% mutual fund. I'd love to get in on that.
Yeah, that's guaranteed.
Right.
And I've had people come in here, and you have to, the interest rate and other terms of the loan certainly do affect the decision. But if somebody's paying, let's make it real easy for them, Wesley. If somebody's paying 6% out there listening to this program, and they've got cash in their bank account, they need to have an emergency fund, they need to have all that. But if they've got just cash money sitting there, this non-qualified regular money, and they've got a mortgage, 6%, they could be earning a guaranteed 6% the rest of their life on that money by paying off that debt.
Absolutely. And I see many cases where folks say, well, I'm just going to keep my mortgage because I got the mortgage interest write-off. Well, okay, but if you think about it, a lot of folks that have their house paid off, have the large debts paid off, the last thing that they're thinking is, oh, I'm going to go take a mortgage against my house or take a home equity loan against my house and turn around and stick it in the stock market because I think I can make more money.
Well, the tax deduction, too, is a funny thing. If somebody's going to get a mortgage or keep the mortgage just because of the tax deduction, please come to my office and I will trade you a quarter for a dollar any day of the week.
Absolutely.
Because it's a deduction. It's not a tax credit. Okay, so you're getting the deduction. And it's funny, too, is a lot of times when people pay off that debt, as you know, Wesley, they may take the standard deduction, and with the trend of the tax policy, the feds know what they're doing. They're putting more and more of us into that standard deduction. So you may not miss out on that much of a deduction anyway, but try it. You might like it.
That's right. And, it's just a matter of getting some advice and making sure that, you're getting good advice, but there's a lot of information out there that you can do some research on your own, but it's good just to kind of sit down and actually look at the tax return, flip through the tax return with a qualified advisor, have them look over your investment portfolio, and just make the best decision.
Well, that's the way you do it. That's putting it pretty to the point, Wesley. Wesley Woods, our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and president of Wood Financial Group. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back, dig more into the taxes with Wesley. Stay right there.
Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671 PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Wesley Wood, hired gun on the other end of the line with me. Hired gun in that Wesley actually agrees a lot with some of the things that we talk about in this program. So I'm teasing Wesley. I'm glad that you're here because, you know, it's always good for us to review some of these concepts and talk through them. And you know, we're talking about taxes. Let's do this. Let's get some nuts and bolts down here. You know, let's talk about, let's run through, if you would, with us, some of the taxes that we're talking about and some of the taxes that play a role with investment planning. And I know we've had some changes here in the last couple of years with the way taxes are done. So if you want, let's just kind of run through them and some of the things that people need to be aware of, be mindful of, and also, you know, be maybe a little bit more sensitive to.
Sure. You know, one of the main ones that we look at when it's taxes increasing, obviously, for a lot of folks when they had the tax code changes in 2013. Capital gains rate was a large one. It went up from being capped out at 15% to 20%. Plus, if your income, if you're at a spot where you're making more than $200,000 of income, you get stuck with another 3.8% Affordable Care tax, or from the Affordable Care Act surtax, which brings you up to about 23.8% on capital gains alone. And also on the maximum ordinary income tax rate has gone up to 39.6%. We've seen, you know,
plus
quite a bit.
Plus the 3.8, right? You got to add the 3.8 on top of that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. If you're at the maximum rate, that's correct.
Well, go ahead and start.
And then we've seen some of the deductions, you know, go down. For instance,
yeah.
If you do have a mortgage and you have more than $1.1 million of a mortgage, that interest above and beyond that, you won't be able to write off the mortgage interest anymore above the $1.1 million mortgage. So for a lot of the wealthier folks out there, they're definitely going to see their tax bill go up.
So if it's a $2 million mortgage, then the $900,000 interest on that would not be deductible.
That's correct. That's
okay.
A great way to look at it. You got it. Then also, I know a lot of folks do have health care expenses, and you're able to write off a certain amount. It used to be where you could take 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, and whatever amount that you spend on healthcare expenses above and beyond that, you're able to put it on your Schedule A and potentially write off some of those expenses as well. We've seen that increase to 10%. So as an example, if you have a $100,000 income and you spend more than $7,500 just a few years ago, you're able to start writing off some of those expenses, whereas now you need to spend over $10,000 a year in order to start writing off of those expenses.
Well, it's obvious what they're doing, you know, and I don't think anybody needs to be a CPA to recognize this. They're shrinking the deductions, they're squeezing it down, and they're raising the rates. So shrink the deductions, raise the rates. You've also got, of course, the alternative minimum tax, which affects people. You've got the taxation of Social Security, Wesley, that you alluded to earlier. It's the walls are closing in a little bit, so we've got to pay more attention to these things.
Yeah, you got that right. I mean, taxes for most folks we're probably going to see go up, especially for the folks that do have investments, do have IRAs, do have 401ks, do have non-qualified accounts that are paying dividends and interest. Chances are they're going to pay a little bit of a higher tax bill these next years moving forward as before 2013 as compared to.
Well, they're not going to go down. I mean, would you imagine, people always say, well, but, you know, maybe my tax will be less in the future. Maybe rates will be lower. I can't really envision rates being lower than they are at any point in the future. I mean, can you envision that, Wesley?
No, I really can. I mean, if you look at us as a country owing more than $17 trillion in debt, don't see taxes going down really anytime soon. So, and when it comes to investment planning, that's definitely something that you want to consider. I mean, how much money do you want to defer out there in the future? What's your income going to look like? If you are retired, you know, what's your income tax rate now versus your children? So when you're passing assets down to your children, is it better off for you to pay the taxes, or is it better off for them to pay the taxes? Especially if it's going to be years out in the future, I just cannot imagine taxes being really any lower than they were and are right now.
So it might not just be your own tax profile you need to look at. You've got IRAs, you've got deferred annuities, you've got 1031 deferred assets or real estate gains. It might be prudent not only to consider the beneficiaries' tax rates. If you've been successful and your kids have doing very well in terms of their income, or if they've done really well and maybe you don't have as much, or it's reversed, whatever the case is, that's going to have an impact on the quote unquote recognition of income. To keep, we want to not just keep those taxes the lowest that they can be for ourselves, but also for, you know, the next generation.
Right, and if you're a child that happens to have a large income, you know, that's a great conversation to have with your parents just to get a sense of what they're looking at now, what they're looking at in the future, and see what their goals are with their money. Maybe it's a good time to look at gifting to grandchildren and reduce some of their estate size if the estate taxes are a concern, and really just put together more of a plan because, you know, if you look at the ordinary tax rate being close to 40%, that's a massive amount of taxation. So if there's a lot of money that's coming out of those deferred accounts like you were talking about for those beneficiaries that are the next generation for the children, for instance, in deferred annuities, and let's just say there's $100,000 of deferred interest, that could be close to $40,000 in taxes just alone on that one investment.
That's right. You know, along that same point, Wesley, if you look at for the individual or this generation, not just the next, but if you look at this generation, we've got those deferred assets, we've got that deferred income. One of the things that I've done that I think works very well is it may serve somebody very well to take more than or before they have to income out of these investments or even out of their IRAs. You know, somebody just turned 70, like, okay, you got to take about 3.5% out. Well, from a tax standpoint, you actually might be better off to take out 5 or 10% instead of just 3.5. Max out those brackets up to your threshold for paying. And go in and expose it at what might be a low rate. It may feel high now, but it might be a lot less than what rates are going to be 5 or 10 years down the road.
Oh, sure, and I'll take it even a step further. You know, we do income tax preparation for our clients. We have a couple of CPAs on staff and a couple of enrolled agents. And if we did 900 taxes last year, probably 50 to 75 of those folks don't pay any income tax. Now, if you're one of those folks that don't pay any income tax, don't think that you don't need tax planning, because I've seen several situations where if you do have enough deductions, let's just say under Schedule A or itemized deductions, where you can actually pull money from these deferred accounts and move it over to, let's just say, from an IRA to a Roth IRA tax-free, that could be a huge benefit for you in the future now that you've got it in a tax-free spot. But also, if you pass away and you have a Roth IRA and you're able to get some of that money over there tax-free because you're able to go below those deductions, you could leave, you know, a tremendous amount of money to your heirs or your children that they'll never have to pay any taxes on.
All right. Well, you're putting it right on the money, Wesley. I love it. I mean, these are all the considerations that people need to look at, and they need to be mindful of it, and it's not something that shouldn't be looked at as you're looking at your finances. Wesley Wood's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, and he's corroborating my story. I love it. CEO and president of Wood Financial. And the website is woodfinancialgroup.net. Lots of good information there. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Then maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary. What's a fiduciary? That's a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. Being a fiduciary also means that the advisor should recommend the products and services he believes will best serve his client's needs, not what an insurance or investment company tells him he has to sell. So next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary?" The answer should only be yes or no. If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer is probably no. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. The website, woodfinancialgroup.net. That's the website for Wesley Wood and his company, Wood Financial Group, and Hendersonville, Tennessee. Glad to have him on the program with us. Wesley, I think the other thing that's important for us to point out to our listeners today, and we talked about the deferral of taxes, or maybe, you know, going ahead and recognizing some income before it has to be recognized for an overall lower tax bill, or even spreading it across generations and comparing relative tax brackets. The other thing that people can be thinking about or should consider is that different, you know, just as we diversify our investments or our assets, some money's safe, some money's more aggressive, money that's aggressive maybe is more, you know, diversified into different types of investments, mutual funds, overseas, U.S., all of that. We could also be smart to diversify our tax aspect of our portfolios by having the Roth, maybe the deferred annuity, maybe the regular IRA, you know, maybe life insurance, these different things, so that we are kind of hedging our bets about what future taxes might look like, because none of us really know for sure.
No, you're exactly right. So if you, and even if you're still working, you know, I get a lot of questions about, oh, should I contribute to my 401k? Should I contribute to my Roth IRA? Should I contribute to my IRA or my Roth 401k? That's good to know from the very beginning. Okay, what is the benefit of this 401k? What's the benefit of this Roth IRA? What's the benefit of this Roth 401k? You know, those are fairly new. But you know, with an IRA, for instance, you get the deduction going in. If you're 50 and under, you get $17,500 just taken right off of your income. So that gives you a tremendous amount of tax saving. Also, if you're over 50, you get a $23,000 deduction right off the bat. With Roth 401Ks, you can put that money in tax-free. You don't get the deduction, but when you go take it out in the future, like let's just say if you believe taxes are going to be increased and look higher, maybe that's a great place to go because then you can pull that money out in the future and never pay any tax on it. Whereas the traditional 401k or traditional IRA, you will have to pay taxes on that money when you use it for income or just disbursements in the future.
Well, then again, on the backside of that, Wesley, the other consideration then becomes where, when it comes time to draw those monies out, where do you draw them from? Do you draw it from the IRA? Do you draw it from the Roth? Do you draw it from your regular non-qualified, the regular money taxable account, your brokerage account? And that's where integrating these things together along with Social Security, because depending on when you draw Social Security, if it's early, on time, or delayed, depending on the Social Security tax or Social Security filing strategy you use, there's a lot going on there, and that's where it's a multifaceted or three-dimensional decision about some of these decisions to keep your overall tax bill lower. It's not just, you know, deductions for health care or, you know, my interest deduction. It's the complexion or these different assets, how they are taxed as you draw on them and how you can keep that overall burden lower. That's the real advantage of tax planning.
I agree. And you know, there's lots of phases of life. There's lots of phases of investment planning. You know, when you're working, you're dollar cost averaging into the market. Then you get to a point where you're looking at retirement. Things tend to change quite a bit at that point, not only with how you need to invest your money, because now you're looking more at distribution of assets. Maybe you're looking at being more conservative. But also, when you start pulling money out to perhaps supplement income, it's important to make sure that it's coming from the right places. And I've seen a lot of cases where, let's just say somebody has a large non-qualified brokerage account that's spitting off, you know, several thousand dollars of dividends and interest that's just simply being reinvested, and they are paying taxes on the dividends and interest that they're not actually spending, but now they're, you know, taking money out of an IRA to supplement their income, and they're having to pay taxes on that money. Now, maybe in some cases that could work out okay, but most of the time, you know, why not go ahead and pull it out of those accounts that are that you're paying taxes on anyway? So when you sit down and actually create a plan and look at that, it's good to know if you've got an IRA or Roth IRA brokerage account, a deferred annuity. You really need to look at it and say, okay, if I pull money out of this, what's that going to do to my tax return? And sounds like that's what you do when you sit down with clients. That's what I do when I sit down with clients. And unfortunately, there's a lot of advisors that may not take that approach and could cost their clients thousands of dollars. And a couple of thousand dollars a year, you know, if you do that for 20 years, may cost you $20,000, $30,000 over a 10-year period.
Hey, listen, that's a new car, man. That's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know you're being, what's the right word? You're being fair or kind with calling some of these folks out there that are, you call them a financial advisor, and there's really not sometimes a lot of advice. And that's really what Wesley and I are getting at on today's program is you need advice to get this stuff right. Because, you know, I know you're thinking about it the same way I am, Wesley. I can, you know, from doing this every day, you know, you can take this stuff and twist it around in your mind and kind of look at it from different angles. And we know the consequence of taking money out of that brokerage account or paying tax on it or understanding the ramifications of that IRA withdrawal and how that affects your Social Security taxation and provisional income, line up 100 people, and not many of them are going to know what provisional income is. And you know what? Good for them. They don't have to. They can hire an advisor to help them with it. That's really the key of what we've been talking about is getting those things right, because it's the IRS is not going to call you and say, you know, you paid too much in tax or you missed this deduction. They're not going to say, you know, Wesley, you paid a lot in tax last year. We're going to give you a break this year.
That's right. Nope. You've got to be proactive. And it's important to, I think, to sit down with somebody. Obviously, I'm in this business and you're in this business. Being independent just gives us the liberty of looking at everything from a 30,000-foot view down. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks in our industry that creates more of a flawed industry that, you know, they may only have one license. For instance, if you go to a life insurance license-only professional, they may call themselves a financial advisor, but they may only be able to sell an insurance product. So chances are, if you ask them the advice of what to do with this money, whether it's tax-wise or how to invest it, they may only say, well, this is the way you need to go, but perhaps that's the only way they can invest. Just like if you went to the bank and maybe the banker there doesn't have any license, the only thing they're going to talk about is bank instruments. And if you go to a stockbroker is going to, in most cases, sell stocks. But taking a step back and realizing there are advisors out there that can help you with a lot of areas and be more holistic to, you know, make sure that your taxes are in good shape, you're not spending too much in taxes, your investment portfolio is a good fit for you, not necessarily a good fit for themselves or their firm that they're working for.
Wesley, I don't think I could have said that any better myself. That was spot on, and my listeners are going, did he read that? Did David give him that? No, and you know what? I talk all the time about these issues that people are not quite aware of about how financial people might work. A way to say it, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, Wesley, is when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
There you go.
So if you go to a hammer, don't be surprised that the hammer is going to hit a nail. And so you've hit it on the head. You've hit the nail on the head. These are the things to be careful about. I wish we had more time today, Wesley, to talk through this. We'll have to have you come back and we'll talk some more. I enjoyed having you on the program. Wesley Wood, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and president of Wood Financial Group, woodfinancialgroup.net. I really appreciate your time and taking some moments here to go over these things with us, Wesley. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, David. I really enjoyed it. And I hopefully help some of your listeners out there.
I'm sure you have, and we'll do it again.
All right, take care.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.